saved it.
Good on you.
Yeah.
How's that baby, Danielle?
Taking a pull already.
Rick, why can't we have a two-pull stamp on our insurance policy?
Yeah.
I thought you'd know.
I don't want any of you to do that.
You get a two-pull stamp for some rivers and some lakes.
I got a stamp pull on the port phone that they were worn out from my other pass.
Promise?
Yeah.
Maybe that means that January 59th is in the intention.
All right, Richard, let's start whenever you're ready.
Now, 2:00, so we'll call this meeting quarter. This is a meeting of the Port of Brookings Harbor Commission. It's a regular commission meeting, once in January 19th, 2022. We'll begin with a pledge of allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance. To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Justice for all.
Danielle, roll call, please.
Larry?
Here.
Ken?
Here.
Sharon?
Here.
Joe?
Here.
Richard?
Here. I have one modification to the agenda, and that will be to move information item B up to an action item. Are there any other modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda? Yes, okay. Anybody have a, need to make a declaration of potential conflict of interest?
I have a conflict of interest in the,
Item D.
Got to make sure what the title on it is. Pelican Bay Art Association request for the 5-year agreement. D.
Action item.
Yeah.
Okay, entertain a motion to approve the agenda amendment.
Well, I have a next. Okay, I want to choose myself on action item I, the CBN. And the reason, because I have a potential conflict of interest due to a lack of impartiality, because I did fill in for her at her business.
Okay. Anything else?
There's a seat right here, Sharon.
All right, with that, I would approve, entertain a motion to approve the agenda amendment.
Motion to approve them.
Yes.
Agenda.
Agenda, sorry.
Second.
Okay. A motion and second to approve the agenda amended. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Any discussion about the minutes?
No.
Okay, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for the commissioner meeting on Wednesday, December 8th, 2021, regular commissioner meeting on Wednesday, December 15th, 2021, special commissioner meeting on Friday, December 17th, 2021, and special commissioner meeting Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes for 4 meetings. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. I have no public comments in front of me. Do you know of any, Danielle?
I do not know of any.
Okay. That brings us to management reports, starting with the safety and security report.
Maintenance staff was trained on fall protection and ladder safety. Night security came across 3 people on 3 separate dates who were repeatedly camping and parked on port property after hours. When asked to leave, they refused to leave, so they were trespassed. For For the month of December, there was 107 security issues, making the whole year total 993. There was a sheen in the water around Transient Dock. Maintenance spent quite a few hours investigating but couldn't find the source. Booms were placed and the spill response people were called, so national response and DEQ. And then monthly inspections for the stormwater pollution control plan were completed. Stormwater testing was done during that month, which makes it the fourth of the four required tests for that year, and we'll start again this year. That's it. Any
okay.
questions?
Thank you. So just for my edification, when you say that, when you train staff, how do you do that? Do you use videos or just
It depends on the topic. A lot of handouts. We go over everything, questions. Sometimes there's demonstrations.
It varies.
Yeah, it depends on what the item is.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
One last Danielle question on the incident where the guy was trespassing. Did it go any further? Did the police get involved? Did anything happen to him? Was he removed? Or was it a dead subject after that?
They get trespassed and then they have to leave. I'm not sure if police were involved from that point on.
Okay.
Okay, that brings us to the financial report.
Okay, for the month of December, end of the month, unrestricted cash equivalents totaled $596,296. Restricted cash and equivalents totaled $821,504. Total assets cash at $1,417,263. The December profit and loss, total revenues from all funds, was $365,221. Total expenses, $419,912. The net income for December was a negative $54,691. Some of the unusual revenues in that month, we did receive $18,000. We seem to get this every year from Coos Curry Electric, patronage, refund type of credit. Then unusual expenses, we did pay IFA Business Oregon, the quarterly payment, $83,196, and we did pay for the CPAs for the annual audit review, which we got to do every year. Then since it was a kind of the end of the year type of thing, I did a little paragraph in there on the calendar year total for vendor expenses. If you have any questions on that, you can review that if you have any questions on how much money we spent on just on vendors for a whole year. It's quite a bit, $2,331,000. That includes everything, fuel dock repairs and buying fuel.
That's a big ticket item.
Yep.
Fuel dock repair.
Yeah.
All right, any questions for Gary?
No.
All right, move on to the Harbor Master Report, Travis.
Okay, for the RV park, basically it was just routine maintenance, cleaning stalls, moving picnic tables, benches back. We did order concrete blocks for a trash enclosure. Once the RV park project is done, it'll be behind the bathroom and we'll make a nice enclosure for that. We have started ordering the blocks now because they are 3 months out from being completed. So we went ahead and ordered them now, and then we also installed a power box for three security cameras that are to be installed shortly at the RV park. And the RV park came in at 11% occupancy, which was the least amount of the year. In the marina, staff did a lot of trips in the boat, cleaning up debris, logs that were washing in, They also were out fixing a lot of cleats, water leaks, from a lot of rain, a lot of moving boats, things loosen up. We also had power boxes installed in the kite field bathroom and the commercial bathroom, where we'll be putting three cameras as well, in each one of those bathrooms as well, looking at the marina and the parking lots. Boat launches, there were 60. We ended up 286 boat launches, down from 2020. So we were actually pretty close to where we were last year. The telehandler, we did three jobs. We did zero haul outs. The maintenance crew completed 68 work orders in December, and staff through the year of 2021 completed 1,005 work orders. Any questions?
Have we received the cameras yet?
Well, not yet. They're not in. I think they're in. We're just waiting for them to come in.
For installation?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you install all of those, what will the total number of cameras be then at that point? 26
cameras.
26?
Wow. The system can handle up to 65. So we still have quite a bit of memory space. We're holding, amount of cameras time on it.
The tips will still probably get at least 3-4 months of recording.
And 65 cameras should hold. They planned 30 days of retention, so we're a third, so we have 9 months worth. If we want to go back 9 months on the cameras, that's how far back we get with the cameras that we've got planned.
Oh, plus don't we have the cloud? We pay for that too, right? No?
The cloud is separate from the camera system.
Oh, I thought we were doing that.
I see we have another advertiser on our website.
Yep, we got one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, court manager report.
All right, Dana Black from the Senator Merkley's office was here. We gave her quite a bit of time. She's new to the Merkley's office, and she was here learning about ports, so we gave her good information about the port and gave her a tour of the port. She was happy that we gave her time. We did have several meetings with South Coast Night Security. They are improving their patrols, so things are improving on their side. Then I did a list of kind of year-end summary of our board meetings. We had 32 board meetings in the year, 122 action items reviewed, 135 information items reviewed, and then we had 14 resolutions that we did in 2021. Then I listed the port achievements in 2021. I won't go through them all unless you guys want to talk about anyone in specific that we did have. Well, I listed 19. So, pretty good year, I believe.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. Read the list and see. Demolished four boats, that doesn't sound like much, but a lot involved in those sort of things. So, okay, any questions for Gary or comments?
So, are we getting close now to start the work on the RV park?
The expansion on the kite field?
No.
So there are, oh, that are, oh, February. Yeah, February 21st is their date.
Okay.
Yeah.
How far out will we notify people that it's going to be closed on the website?
We've got notices already, and we got sites already blacked out through that time frame. So they can't schedule those sites. And we got it scheduled. They give us a comprehensive schedule when they're doing their sites. So we got those things blocked out per their schedule.
So you're going to do like a rolling closure then and not all at once?
Yeah.
All right, anything further? All right, that brings us to action item A. We've got an updated one of those here.
Motion.
Oh. Good job, Joe. Staying sharp.
You must be better.
Sharp.
All right, I would entertain a motion to accept the management report.
I make a motion to approve the December 2021 safety security report, financial report, harbor master report, port manager report, as discussed.
Second.
Okay. Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe stepped out. And Richard?
Yes.
Joe's running back.
Joe? Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that brings us then to action item A, Board of Best Management Practices Amendment. Here.
Yeah, the lawyer brought back an amendment on the resolution. Basically, it's a minor adjustment they made on the resolution, but you have a draft copy in front of you. This was discussed in our workshop meeting. Nothing changed in the best management practices.
So what was the amendment?
Well, the amendment was on the second paragraph, basically allowing port management to update the best management practices based on, you know, new information and whatnot. So, okay.
All right. Yeah. Okay, any questions? Discussion? All right. I will entertain the motion.
I'll make a motion to approve draft resolution 2022-01 adopting best management practices to include section 9 pump outs and dump stations and section 10 public restroom cleaning.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. That brings us to action item B, the Oregon State Marine Board Maintenance Assistance Grant application. Eric?
All right, this is the application for a grant. This is the same grant that we do every year. The previous action item is part of this grant that we require us to update our best management practices for the maintenance of the pump outs and also the restroom cleaning. So A and B is kind of the same, but they're together, but this is just approval for getting the grant to move forward.
And this is a $4,500 grant?
Yeah, 48.
Right, so it's double that though, right?
It's a biennium grant now. So 92.90.
All right. Any questions? Comment now. All right. Entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve the Oregon State Marine Board Maintenance Assistant Grant application for July 1st, 2021 to June 30th, 2023, and allow Port Manager to sign application.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
No.
Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Action item C, notification to gear storage users. Hearing.
All right, this is what we talked about in the workshop. This is the letter that was in the packet. Draft letter to notify the gear storage users that things will be changing starting this summer. Some areas will have to be adjusted and moved, relocating changing the boat storage area from the green building area, just eliminating that. Gear storage is going to go up in that area. The letter does have a map of proposed areas that we're looking at putting the gear storage. That's still a plan that Jack is working on through FEMA. So this is just another notification. This is the fourth notice in the last several years that we've given to gear storage users. So
that's getting closer to happening.
Yes, it is coming closer. The other thing, I did add the schedule that we had previously talked about, just so everybody kind of sees the schedule of what we're proposing to do and when, sort of work throughout the board.
Okay. Have you heard anything from anybody, any rumbling or?
From gear storage users, no. We haven't heard anything from anybody. Travis hears a little bit here and there, but nothing, no complaints yet.
No, it's.
Maybe when moving day gets here.
Moving day, we'll get some complaints.
Well, just for the record, so we all are clear on why we're doing this, this is to allow us to get in and do the drainage improvements and cleanup we have to do as part of our discharge issues, to resolve our discharge issues, and this is part of the FEMA grant project. So
this will also drastically improve the users' access to and from the docks. Having pavement with these forklifts are going to make a huge, huge difference. It'll be good for the users.
And our maintenance will undoubtedly go down. We won't be putting, literally pouring gravel into the ground only to see it disappear every winter. Okay. Motion on that.
I make a motion to approve the notification letter to notify all gear storage users of the relocation of the gear at the port.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Brings us to action item D, the Pelican Bay Arts Association request for a 5-year agreement. Sharon?
Yeah, we discussed this at our workshop. Like I said in the workshop, the port doesn't have our port staff doesn't have a problem with a 5-year agreement. As discussed, I got the motion to include the organizer of the events will be responsible for any damage to artwork. So I've already got 4 or 5 events that are requesting right now from one individual. We're here at the port for this coming year, so. Besides the 4th of July, fireworks, is they're trying to get that back in play as well. So,
okay. Any questions?
No.
Okay. You're not going to vote on this, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. No further discussion, Danielle? Oh, sorry. Motion.
Okay. Recommended motion. Motion to approve 5-year agreement with Pelican Bay Arts Association to use the boardwalk handrail for the art on the boardwalk. Include a provision. The organizer of other events will be responsible for damaged artwork.
Second. So who seconded?
If there's another event that's happening on the boardwalk, that if tents, anything gets bumped up against it, who are the people that they're having there, such as vendors and stuff, that they, so they're not allowed to tie to the handrails, they're not allowed to do it. Right. So if they extend into that, it damages, just like anything, if they damage anything else with the port, it's just including the artwork too, that you will be responsible for it.
But the organizer of that event.
Yeah, the organizer of whatever event that might be held out there.
Okay.
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Action item E, Port Brookings Harbor Employee Handbook for 2022.
The lawyer wants more time to review our handbook. We're going to have more changes, so we'd like to postpone this until next month.
Okay. Are these substantive changes?
There's a bunch of repetitive things that they said is not necessary, and there could be some that don't need to be there and need to be there. So they wanted a full review of the entire thing. So they just want more time to review this.
Okay.
And as I recall, our new law firm has a whole division devoted to this, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Good.
All right, well then we will postpone that. And that gets us to item F, the sale of a business, Founders Fresh Crab, consent to assignment and assumption of lease.
Okay.
You know, so we have new owners that are going to be taking over the Bounders Fresh Crab, which is going to be James and Stephanie Pierce. And this basically allows them to take over the lease, the remaining condo that's with the court. And the lawyer did have some updates, which you guys have the updated version of it. There are minor updates in that packet, basically establishing the dates of effective dates.
Okay, and this lease, the facilities themselves will be in an as-is basis. We aren't going to,
correct,
at this point, require any changes to it.
Correct, yeah, we're going to continue with the current lease. Yep.
Okay. Brian, any questions?
No.
Comments? All right. Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the draft consent to assignment and assumption to lease agreement between Bill and Leslie Wood and James and Stephanie Pierce for the business Bounders Fresh Crab.
I second it.
Okay. Further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Action item G. North City Access and Crab Dock.
All right, as we discussed in our workshop, we've had many problems on that jetty. The jetty is not part of the port. The Coast Guard does not have a problem with a gate going across the on port property, accessing that north jetty long to get a key for the gate. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, you have a question?
So the Coast Guard wants the key? Or
it's not the Coast Guard.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Corps of Engineers. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Any questions, comments?
No.
I think it's a good idea.
Well, I would comment. This is just one more thing that we're dealing with because of folks that don't have a place to stay, I guess, except out there. So, okay.
Can I make one comment?
Yes,
For you guys in the audience, you know what we're doing here. We discussed it at our last meeting, special meeting, that we're going to remove the crab dock over there where the at the entrance to the seafood, there'll be a gate put in there and vehicles will not be allowed to go out on that finger.
On the south jetty?
North jetty.
This jetty right out here.
The north jetty.
Between the river and the harbor.
Oh, okay.
There was people camping out there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't safe.
Of course not.
Well, the other issue with the crab dock is we've discussed that in the past, that at times, because that channel is pretty narrow, that gets to be pretty hairy when you're trying to pass two boats in there with,
right,
you know, crab you're flying and all that kind of stuff. So that will come out as well. And then that
is just taking a whole dock away then?
Yeah.
Yep. Dock and ramp.
What are you going to do with it?
Well, the ramp will be repurposed for something else. And the docks will go in storage and then we'll pull the pilings first chance we get.
Okay.
You're only talking, that dock is what, 30 feet?
It's like 80 or 90.
Oh, is it that long?
That 80 docks? Gotta have
about
seven, eight docks on it, three pilings. Yeah.
Okay. It's noisy, and I, for one, have been entangled in crab ropes that the guy's throwing way out there. That channel's really channel.
So of course,
it's a good move.
There's been a navigation on it. You guys, if you're able to walk down the jetty and walk back, it's just, there's no safe place for a vehicle to turn around
right
down there.
Right,
so
right.
Walking access will still be.
Okay. Motion.
Before we make the motion, can I add one more thing? Right now we have temporary barricades out there, which are just wood barricades. People are moving them, driving out there. What we plan on doing, if it's approved today, Travis and I want to put the concrete blocks up there until we get a gate put up.
Good idea.
Perfect.
Yes.
Gary, a lot of people walk this.
Yep.
Are they still
going to
be able to walk up?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, the blocks are going to be separated, kind of, where you can still walk between them.
Leave openings.
Right. Yep. So no one's breaking any laws or anything.
Nope.
Right.
All right, now I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve installing a single bar gate with a sign, enter at your own risk at the entrance of the North Jetty. Shouldn't I say Middle Jetty? It's considered North Jetty. Okay. North Jetty, and providing the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers a key of access, remove the entire crab dock, including piling and ramp from the North Jetty when the project warrants, a barge and crane or other means become available.
I'll second.
We'll give Sharon a second.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Action item H, boardwalk condition and modification. Harry?
All right, when we talked about this in the workshop, we talked about removing all the deck from that bad section. We did discuss in the workshop to change that idea, to just to remove one board and just separate the bad area from the good area, so it's removing the, you call it the hangers.
Yeah, cutting all the nails from the hangers. You know, they've still got to sit in there, but we'll cut all the nails away from the hanger and just let, if it's the bad part's going to move, just let it move inside the hangers and
right.
Disconnect it from the rest of it.
Yeah. And the reason for this is to protect the remaining sound deck so it doesn't start to...
As it's going, it's just tearing everything off, you know, evenly all the way down. It's like kind of like opening a zipper. And, you know, we're trying to get it to where it stops doing that.
And then the ultimate resolution is going to be to take that all out and strengthen everything underneath it.
We'll have to redo the shoring. We'll have to pull it all out and redo it from the ground up. That's what the fix will be. We're not there yet. It's dollars. A lot of them.
We keep carving stuff off the list, and the list just stays about the same. It's like take one off and get another one on. Okay. All right. Any further on this motion?
Motion to approve separating the damaged section of the boardwalk and the existing
extend
hand railing from the boardwalk to the ramp railing.
I second
it. Okay, motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to the CBN Enterprises.
All right, our collection agency would like to take the CBN Enterprises to litigation for the remaining debt owed to the court.
Okay, so the debt is actually owed to us or to the collection company?
It's mostly to us. There's some fees that I think they will collect, but it's about $1,700. I think what's owed to the port is $1,400, I believe. So they're just asking port's permission to take it to litigation. They believe they can get the money through litigation.
Okay. Comments or questions?
And there's no cost to us?
No. They get the cost through the tenant.
Right.
The fees, yeah.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve Southern Oregon Credit Services Collect Northwest to proceed with litigation on CBN Enterprises for the remaining debt owed.
Second. Okay. Sharon, you're not voting on this?
No.
All right. Further discussion? Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. That brings us to item J, the financial consultant contract.
All right. Last year, we went through the process of finding a consultant. We'd like to just extend the current contract. There's no price change. Like extended 1 year, and the board did have a section that was added to the draft, which the board has the new section in there. it's something to do with it's like it's just a formality type of thing that they added. What? Oh, I didn't know lawyers are online. James, you want to speak real quick on what you did on this agreement?
Sure, thanks. I appreciate it, Gary. Happy to. So with this agreement, we maintain the same terms as the port has had with Mr. Burns previously last year. We did make just a couple cleanups to reflect that he'll be retained to work on the upcoming 2021-22 annual financial report. And then Oregon's public contracting code requires some statutory provisions that need to be included in all contracts for services. So we made those statutory updates as well.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? No questions? All right.
What's that cost, fisherman? What's the cost on something like that?
$7,000.
So the damage that they have done now. Oh, I see that.
All right, I entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve extending the agreement for professional services financial consultant with Gerald Burns for one additional year.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to action item K, Bluefin Realty Lease Renewal Amendment Number 1.
Yeah, this is an amendment to extend the lease. She has the option to extend it three more years. So we're giving her that option for three more years for Bluefin. And she also wanted to add a partner to the lease. So that's this will also fix that. And the draft that's in the packet was also updated. You should have a new draft. There's just minor changes to that as well. The lawyers clarified the references to the tenant, referred to Kim and Lisa, and the effective date of the amendment. I think that's all you did to it, right, James?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, the main edit was to update, the amendment updates the original lease to reflect the added partner that is also going to be a tenant.
Okay. Comments, questions? Hearing none, entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve draft lease renewal extension amendment number 1 for Bluefin Realty.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to the last action item, which we moved up from information, and this is an update on the MIST station.
Okay, since the workshop, the port placed a lien on the vessel, crab pots, gear, and the crab permit. The estimated lien amount is $100,000 that we placed on it. The SBA loan department has recommended to release the loan on the vessel. The siblings have to agree to that. And they have also shown if the loan has been released, they want to take the ownership of the vessel, get insurance for it, and pay the mortgage. So that's some new development since our last meeting. And the port does have an option to not accept or accept the mortgage. So we still have whatever. If we don't want the boat here, then we can ask for the boat to leave. And we're also looking at strengthening our mortgage agreement for
derelict vessels, abandoned vessels, and whatnot. So we are working on that. We'll probably bring that to the board by next month for amendments.
So what you're looking for here then would be a motion to approve the placement of the lien, and then also a discussion or a decision about whether to accept the mortgage for the vessel.
The mortgage of the vessel, I think we want to hold off on that until we get further information that they actually accept the loan release. That's kind of up in the air if they're going to accept that or not. I think there's more information before we make a decision on accepting the mortgage or not.
So this mortgage would then be a new agreement?
Yes.
Okay. So we would have the option then before we entered into that agreement to either require the vessel to be inspected by a qualified right. surveyor or have it moved.
Yeah, I think we have plenty of room and time to come up with what we require. It's still kind of a moving, evolving situation that we got going. So I think it's a little premature to tell them, right? One recommendation from the lawyers is to sit down and talk to the siblings and find out exactly what they want to do with the boat, because we really don't know what their intentions are with the boat. Is they, you know, are they going to fix it up, or are they going to move it out of here? So at this time, I think we just need the board to approve what actions we've already taken on that lien, just to approve the lien and then let the situation develop a little more and come back to the board for decision on the mortgage.
Okay.
At least that's what my understanding. And James, if you want to pick up anywhere I left off.
This is Jess Webster. I'm with Miller Nash as well. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sort of a maritime specialist within the firm. And the situation with SBA has gotten to the point where SBA has agreed to now release their mortgage on the vessel. And we would anticipate that the executor of the Dunkel estate will accept that. That will clear the way for them to redocument the vessel and get insurance. But the court really should consider whether they want to allow this vessel to continue there, given the fact that I understand one of the owners has expressed that they don't want to have anything to do with the boat or to work it anymore. And you certainly don't want an older and larger vessel remaining in your marina without an exit plan and without adequate security for possible liabilities that could arise from the sinking of a boat like that.
Well, just for the benefit of the folks that are here, the issue with this boat is this is the first boat we've dealt with that is larger than we can handle. We cannot pull this boat with our lift. So if the boat was to be abandoned here, then we would have to take some pretty extraordinary measures to do something with it, which might include having it towed by a tug to Coos Bay where it could be broken up, or pulling it adjacent to the steel wall and trying to tear parts off it until we get it less than 50 metric tons, which we could handle. So we're part of the discussion we've been having about this is what do we do as we move forward with these kind of boats, and how do we handle things, our lease agreements for boats that are too big for us to be able to physically deal with, should they be abandoned. So that's kind of the background on where we are here, and that's part of the discussion we're going to have going down the road on, you know, what are we going to do with these sorts of vessels that show up here that are new to us or are changing hands, and what are our options. So that's kind of what the background on all of this is.
So when does the court get sole position of possession of this boat?
Well, we're not there yet. So right now, the idea be if the SBA, Small Business Administration, releases the lien on or the loan, then that gives the siblings the opportunity to get them both titled in their, documented in their name. And once they do that, then we have to discuss with them whatever it is they want to do. If they want to get the boat running and leave it here, that's one thing. But we need to protect ourselves in the meantime. We brought it. Do we take out insurance on this already?
No.
Okay. So in the meantime, we have to protect ourselves from a potential liability, because if this thing sinks, what does it cost? What does it cost?
It's going to be a lot of money.
A couple hundred thousand dollars
to start with.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we are with it.
Who has possession of the credit license?
Well, right now, the heirs to the estate do, I guess, or the estate does, but we now have a lien on
does
it.
Does that coincide with the possession of the boat? Or?
They're all interrelated.
If it's used in the operation of the boat, yes, we can lien.
Okay.
If it's used for the operation of the vessel.
Say the siblings don't want it anymore, and it, then nope. Does the court have a chance to take full possession of that boat?
It's an option. It's something that the port at all times and in all cases, we don't want ownership of the boat. We want to explore every option we can possibly do to hold the owners, whoever else is much responsible for their agreement that they made with us as possible. Us taking ownership is a process, it's a method, but if we can at all help it, and I think with the help of with Jess and our new attorneys here, I think we're going to find some other ways that will open some different doors for us to deal with it.
This may be way ahead of the game, but does the port do harbors, sink boats? Do they like tall mouth?
No.
Full possession. They can make a reef out of them.
Very, very strict criteria that you have to meet to be able to sink a boat and put it out there as a reef basis. I'm not even sure the process of doing that, but it's a very, very strict criteria.
I do know that it takes a tremendous amount of cleaning. I mean, you have to basically strip the boat, clean it of any toxic materials, anything, oil, asbestos, whatever it may be, has to come off of the boat before it sunk. And I don't even know who you talked to about where you put it.
Outside 50 miles. I know guys that have done it. It's a lot of work.
Well, the problem is for our benefit, frankly, if we were going to sink both, we have to sink them in 90 feet of water where we've got some rockfish habitat. But anyway, it's not simple. That's why I think when they do make those boat reefs, they're looking at substantially sized vessels.
It just seems like a cost saver to do something like that. Scrub a few floors, then get a welder out there, tear that thing out piece by piece.
This isn't a unique problem to us. This has almost become a plague on the West Coast, well, the nation, but on the West Coast particularly, because of the lack of current law that really allows anybody to do anything. So we're going to be, with the help of our attorneys, we're going to be kind of pioneering out here trying to figure out what we can do to protect the port assets as much as we can from this type of liability. Whatever it may be. So,
not capable of being hauled?
It could be towed, I think, but we haven't had, nobody's been aborted there to give us any kind of a seaworthiness determination whether it could safely be hauled. We don't know.
You couldn't get it out of the water with a travel list?
No.
Not the way it is right now.
It's too bad.
You'd have to cut the house off, take the
rim. I don't know how much. It depends on how much ballast they have in it, if they've added concrete to it, over the years. The winches, all the boom, all that kind of stuff is not factored into the current weight that you get on documentation. That's all added gear to it that all have to come off before you even start etching at the weight that it's documented at.
One quick question. What's the license for it, the credit license for it? It
depends on what it is. They can be anywhere from $50,000 to $150,000. I don't know, but they're very... Joe?
What's that? The permit?
The craft permit? What's the 300 pot craft
permit? About 150 grand.
How much?
150.
Probably more, but I'm just saying 150 just to, if you wanted to sell it right now.
You took the possession of the boat, you get the license too.
I don't want to answer. I mean, that, like I said, we don't want to take that.
Anyway,
you know, they, you know,
the three,
there's limits that what we can just take from something
right,
like that.
But there's still an estate involved here. So until that's all resolved, we won't really know exactly what the port may get, if anything. Our main concern is protecting ourselves against the thing catching fire or sinking or all of the above until we can get this resolved. I mean, this was kind of an ongoing situation.
And the lawyer, your fourth lawyers are expressing this language to you. You know, like they, these are a strong possibility.
Well,
it's still very much in the early stages of it. There's still a lot of communication that has to still happen.
So what exactly are we looking at for this?
What I think we should do here is a motion that says we approve the placement, that the actions of the manager to work with our attorneys to place the liens on the equipment to help us. And the reason I think we should have a motion and a second on that is because if we, as we move down this road, I think that's going to become part of our standard process, so that it begins with this, won't begin with this, but this is our, one of our initial actions would be to make sure we place liens on the equipment.
Right.
So, okay.
And we talked about the port putting it, paying for insurance on it till something, till everything's worked out or.
That's still under works, but we don't know if that is possible at this point. Our insurance carrier is looking into it.
Okay. So
and
at this time, we just need to make a motion on the lien. And you to work with the attorney.
Yep. It's just confirming that the board knows that a lien was placed, that we secured the lien.
There was a lien placed.
Yeah, there was a lien.
For the craft box, the gear, the craft permit.
Yeah,
we're asking you guys to approve what we already gave you.
Right.
And work with the attorney for further resolve.
Yes. Well,
before any other big decisions are made for this boat, you know, we will be coming back.
At our workshop meeting, we certainly didn't give you formal directions, but we implied that we should take whatever action we needed to take as quickly as possible to protect us. And so this has been kind of an evolving process, so we'll now formalize that and make it a matter of record. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, if I could, board, you know, we would like the board to ratify the interests that have been secured or the liens that have been placed, but then also to authorize, you know, Gary and Travis to work with Jess and I on further securing the port's interest. So that could be future liens and exploring other options to secure the port's interest, which may be, you know, insurance as well.
Okay.
Jeff, I don't know if you want to add anything to that, but I think that that'll capture what we need. And until we have an opportunity to connect with the board again, and as Gary and Travis pointed out, we expect that to be early in February.
I really don't have anything to add substantive at this time. I have some technical information regarding maritime liens that might be of interest down the road, but I think it would be better if we put together something in the nature of a presentation as to what the port's rights and options are with respect to these bigger, older vessels and protecting the port's interests.
Great.
Look
forward to that.
So
thank you.
If the update here says the siblings are interested in taking ownership. So if they take ownership, they retitle it or whatever you do to put it in their name, and they get insurance on it, we have a pretty bold target to go after if we have trouble with it. They're going to have insurance. They're going to be the current owners and current federal registered. I mean, we can at that time go after them if we have a problem.
Definitely in our interest to let this proceed and try and get a responsible owner that can make decisions and sign a mortgage agreement with us.
And so then the ultimate question is, do we still want it here?
Okay. It's going to be a lot of work to take it apart to get it out of the water.
But what I'm saying is if they take ownership and they retitle it and they insurance, we can go after them. We can go after their insurance company. And then we could subsequently go after anything they own because we could lien them personally because they're owners.
Documented.
I mean, that's one way. Also, you know, I mean, the owners,
we don't want to do
now that
all
they
that,
can put it in their name, you know, now they have options as well. They have options to sell it, remove it, take it to a different
point. Right. They may
go. Somebody else might want the boat, and it could become a value to the new owner.
Right.
Right now, with the SBA loan that's on it, it has no value because you can't change this. You can't do anything with the documentation. So as it sits, our major thing that we're waiting on right now is if they're going to sign the SBA release.
Okay.
In my former life, we used to refer to these as clouded titles. So you have to get that resolved before anything else is possible. So do we know about the release? The SBA loan department has recommended release the loan on the vessel. So
what has to be done is accepted by the state, I believe, for this.
The siblings
they have to agree that, well, if they want it, they would want that release.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to be fundamental to them being able to get it.
Right.
So if they want to get it, they're going to do that. If they do that, everything else can start falling in place, theoretically. Okay. Are you prepared? I see you writing over there. So.
Yeah,
I wrote one too. I think it's whoever wants to do it.
Okay. So the motion would be to for the port to place the lien on the vessel for the crab pot gear crab permit. Estimated lien amount is $100,000. Authorize Gary and Travis to further work with the attorneys to secure the interest for the port.
One thing.
The vessel is.
Wasn't that crab gear sold?
It was, but we talked to the person that bought them. It sounds like he was getting his money back for it, so that all landed back to status quo. As far as I know.
Did I
but as is,
you know, you didn't cover the name of the boat or the vessel.
Oh, for the Miss Daisy Echo.
That covers it.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
I said.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. So just make sure we're clear. The motion basically says that we're ratifying the action by the port manager to authorize the placement of lien on the Miss Stacy, the crab pot, gear, and crab permit. Okay? Anything else? All right, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Jill?
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. Okay, that brings us to information item A, which is the budget calendar for fiscal year 22-23.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's that time again. We start working on our budget for the next fiscal calendar year. So this is our draft calendar. I did bold in there. We're looking at the budget committee meeting on May 10th, Tuesday at 10 a.m. We do have three vacancies on the budget committee, and we put ads out for individuals who want to be on a committee. We've received three or four already, so if you know anybody that wants to be interested, you just have to be tenants or living in the district to be on it.
Seems like we just did.
They come around quick. They come around quick.
We never quit.
Okay, that brings us to the next information item, which is the tsunami alert on January 15th.
Yeah, I added this to the meeting packet just so we have a chance to talk about it. So Saturday morning, Travis called me early in the morning, said he got a call from Kyle that there was an event happening and a tsunami was coming. So that was like 6:30 in the morning. So at that time, I decided to bring in our crew and just to try to notify all the guests at the RV park, the liveaboards, and you know the retail people down here, and just let everybody know that there's an advisory. And I found out the advisory is one step below a warning. Warning means you need to evacuate. Advisory means you stay out of the water, off the beaches, and the waterways along the coastline. So what I found out when I got here, looking at the NOAA National Weather Service, that they estimated a 1 to 3 foot wave, and they actually had times when it's going to hit all along the coast, and it showed at 8 a.m. here in Brookings. So we actually worked, our staff was here at 7 a.m. We got our guys deployed throughout the port. The sheriff wanted us to close the back gate to the RV park, so we did that to prevent people from going in the park and back to the back gate. So it's kind of it was a good and bad thing. We didn't have any damage to our port that we've noticed. We did see a rise or a drop and a rise about a foot or two throughout the port. So it's kind of interesting. I was talking to Jack, and I kind of asked him what when we had the 2011 tsunami, what was that estimated wave? And he said it was like,
go ahead.
Yeah, he said eight foot.
I've seen it. It was probably at least 6 foot. If I was
150
feet from it when I got my truck and took off.
Yeah. So, anyways, it was a good, I don't know if you call it training exercise, but it was a good thing to understand the NOAA website. But it's kind of one thing we did learn that some people got notifications. I didn't see one on my phone that came across from the county. I think Richard said he got one on his phone, and he got a call from home like half an hour to an hour before the wave showed up.
It was about between 7:30 and 7:45 when they called.
Yeah.
It said there was a tsunami alert, so we looked on everything we could find. It was at 8 o'clock, and I thought, well, even if I wanted to do something, I couldn't get from my house to here in 15 minutes. No way, so.
I left at 6:45, and it was already starting because I left by myself at the boat. And when I untied, I almost wasn't able to get back on the boat. That's how much the boat was already moving.
Wow.
It was surging pretty good. It surged, I think Brian said three times that he actually seen. True surge, come in and go back out. When I was leaving, it was surging.
I watched you on the cam for a while.
Jerry, that was a great job, by the way, hands on deck, dude. When I was down there, you had a worker at every station.
In follow-up discussion about this, we chat and talked about, so what's the plan writ large should we have something like this again? And what role does the port play, and what's the expectations of the emergency managers as to what we may or may not do? It occurs to me that one of the first actions that should occur is law enforcement should be closing the roads coming into the port and reserving those strictly for people leaving the port, because I think that's going to be the biggest single issue, is trying to get people out of here, out of the RV park, out of the motel. And it would be advantageous to be able to use both lanes of the road to get as many people out as quickly as possible. I don't know how many people showed up to watch the tsunami. Did we have a crowd?
It was coming down.
That's what I suspected. So, I mean, those kind of things are a discussion we need to have as a community in terms of response to what do we do if we get one of these things, and how are we going to prevent people from coming down here and clogging up the roads and get people out of here, you know, should things occur. But I guess we'll just stay tuned and see where this goes.
The county emergency management person did email me and ask for our comments. They call it the after action review, AAR, kind of interesting term that they use. So we did voice our concerns about you know, the actually notification part of it, because the sirens then go off, but we found out the sirens are not working anymore, and it's actually the responsibility of the cities and local
county,
not the county. County got rid of it, so they're not maintaining those sirens. So you're not going to hear a siren from any kind of tsunami from the county. So if you hear a siren, it might be coming from a local agency or the city. So that's kind of interesting.
If the port wants a siren or some sort of notification to go off, it'll be on us to implement that infrastructure ourselves.
Is that siren still here?
The parts of it are still there. So the other thing I asked was, we probably should have a meeting with the emergency management people, and like an annual meeting to review notifications and updates of how, you know, just do like an annual review meeting with the emergency response people, with other local agencies, so we're all on the same page what we expect and what's going to happen.
Well, I would certainly like some clarification of all. It's not the port's responsibility. Public safety is not our charge. That's somebody else. And the tsunami warning, to me, is a public safety issue. So somebody in that realm should be responsible for saying, yeah, go blow the horn.
That's correct.
So that's stuff that I'd like to talk to somebody about, say, you know.
Well, that and the amount of people that come down here during the one that happened in 2011, anything that happens, just people flood this port, and the port staff, we are looking at options such as signs, like natural disaster signs that the port staff can put up, and we're leaving. We're not, I mean, we'll handle the RV park, but the public demand to go to places where we're trying to tell them no, we can't control. It's well above and beyond, and that's what the emergency, we want to talk to them about it. Guys, we can't stop it. Like,
you don't
have
the authority to do that.
Well, we don't. Even when we close it down, if they drive by us, I mean, there's nothing we can do. So if that is an issue to our emergency management, it's something that we want to bring to their attention, that there is an extremely high influx of traffic that comes when told to leave.
Because during that time, there was a, well, it's an RV, it's here all the time during the day or whatever. And there was no way port staff could get it to leave. We totally refused.
Yeah, you're going to get people that way.
And that's hard for them.
Oh, yeah.
They shouldn't have to deal with that.
Well, but the issue is notification. Once you've done that, you don't have the authority to tell people you need to leave, and I'll make you leave if you don't.
No, exactly.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, that has to, that sort of stuff has to go to a public safety agency of some kind. It's not the port. I mean, you can do what we can put a barricade, we can block off port property like boat ramp and things like that, but beyond that, there's nothing we can do legally.
What's one other thing that you got to recognize, the fact that if a boat owner wants to take his boat out and, you know, to the ocean before the wave hits you, how do you sort of separate that from the crowd coming down?
We're not. That's one thing that's not going to be on our burden to
decipher
who's going to be coming.
Well, that's why you would need an enforcement authority to stop people on the roads. And if
it'd
you
be
have,
to let you go through.
Well, if you had a substantial reason to be down here, you'd have to convince them, I'm going to go get my boat and go to sea with it. That'd be up to them. But I don't think port staff ought to be involved in sorting all that out. I mean, I agree with Travis's comment. If we're down to a tsunami hitting the port, we need to protect our people too and get them out of there. Do what you got to do. But you know, tell them you got to stand down there and dock till you go under that and get it. So
it says evacuate. You need to do that.
You know, with the tsunamis too. I mean, we have to remember, you can prepare for however you want, but you have, depending on how big it is, where it's at, you know, it's going to depend on how much time you have and what precaution, if it's an advisory, if it's a warning, you know, what is expected, it will kind of heavily weigh on what and how long we stay here.
Well, I suspect,
or if we do,
that there's going to be two kinds of events, one like we've seen here or the Japanese situation. But if we have a Cascadia event here, by the time they notify us, it'll probably be over with.
That's right.
I mean, it's going to be done.
So I think it's a good idea, Gary, that you work with emergency management and get everybody on the same page
give
for the
chat.
Community.
Well, at least have a discussion.
Yeah, we,
the end of the discussion may be, well, you're all on your own because we're not going to do anything, but still, at least knock it off.
So the other side note of all this, in the packet, I put the website activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a nice peak in activity.
Yep.
Almost 2,000 people went to our website. The tsunami page had an almost 900% increase. So one thing that we learned, and we're kind of worried about notifying everybody, we should have put a little notice on our website and maybe a link to NOAA so people that are going on there. We'll do that next time if we have another tsunami advisory or whatever.
Facebook was really busy with our website. Everybody
over
was
there.
Posting, go to the website, go to the website.
So, yeah, we learned a few things, so we'll improve next time on those things. Like I said, Travis, we're going to get signs, so you know, place our signs out in areas, so kind of help notify people. But every disaster is unique, and we have to look at each one separately. So, you know, some, we had a fire several years ago, and that was a different type of situation. So, you just have to assess each one separately.
Okay. Any other comments on that?
Yeah.
Any commissioners comment?
Thank you.
I would just like to thank the board staff. They're all working hard, doing good. Like tsunami, you don't plan for that stuff. And waking up, get out of bed, go. You know, thank you. Thank you for what you do. Well, the only comment I would make is just update everybody on the salmon schedule. So the first go-round of information comes out on the 28th of February. And then the council meets the following week to come up with the three alternatives, season alternatives. And that'll be in San Jose, in person, until. So we'll know by early March.
Gotcha.
Early March, what our options are going to be, the three options. So. Okay.
We'll stay tuned on that.
With that, we will adjourn.
Goodbye.
Sharon and Richard.
I know you asked Richard 2 minutes now, too.
I agree.